Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16, we'll read verses 19 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 23. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 23. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, in desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And let's finish on verse 23 together. Ready? And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Lord, thank you for the wonderful blessing of having a church like ours. One that's alive, one that's active, one that's ever-reaching. That's because we serve a live God, a risen Savior, and a God that's active in each and every individual's life. Lord, you've never pushed yourself on any of us. We must stop. We must listen. We must allow you to do your work in our hearts. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Please change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the sermon is entitled, The Resurrections of the Bible. The Resurrections of the Bible. Now, I'll ask that we all steady ourselves and everybody quiet down. Young people over here, make sure you look right this way, only leaving if there's an emergency. We read earlier from Luke chapter 16, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll read a few additional verses toward the end of the story that we just read. In Luke chapter 16, verse number 28, this is about a man that has died and he's in hell. Now he begins to have a conversation with Abraham, and he says this, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments." He goes on in verse 30, and it says, "And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Again, look right at me, no moving, everybody settle yourselves. Jesus is telling a story. A rich man and a poor man had died. A rich, unsaved man died, and when he died, he was unsaved and he went to hell, the Bible says. He woke up in the torments of hell. He cried out to Abraham in verse number 28 and said, I'm in torments. He said, I'm here and I rejected Christ. I didn't get saved. Now, there's nothing in the world that could be done about this man who had died and going to hell. But he says, I have five brethren. They're not saved. He said, I don't want them to come to this awful place. Send somebody back from the dead and then my brethren will get saved. Verse 30, he said, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham answers, he says, Your five brethren have the Bible, and they won't believe what it says, neither will they believe anyone who has returned from the dead. This rich man was convinced that a resurrection would be a very, very powerful testimony to his lost brothers. In other words, here he died, he went to hell, he said, there's nothing in the world that could be done about it now, I'm in hell myself. But I do have five brothers back home, and none of them are saved, and I dead sure don't want them to come to this place. He turns and says, Abraham, send somebody to my brothers, and if somebody would resurrect from the dead, and go back and tell my brothers, a resurrection would convince my brothers not to come to this place. You know, the testimony of a resurrection is pretty strong. The thought of somebody coming back from the dead, that's a pretty strong testimony. Of course, this rich man that died and went to hell was told, look, they've got the Bible. If your brothers are not going to believe the Bible, they're not going to believe somebody that came back from the dead. You say, why would they say that? Because in the Old Testament, there were people that God had resurrected, and that didn't convince everybody that God was strong enough to do it. There are many resurrections in the Bible. Of course, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the resurrections of the Bible, they're very powerful stories. Death is powerful, and none of us are excited about the thought of death, but just so you all know, you will die someday. You will die someday. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is a powerful force, and you and I, we cannot overcome death. We will all face it. But when man is resurrected, it gets the attention of people. Today, our whole nation celebrates the resurrection of a Savior. What an impact that resurrection made around the world. Thank God we serve the only Savior that was resurrected from the dead. Others have been resurrected, but none as important as was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you about some of those other resurrections that the Bible records today. But remember, there's no resurrection like the resurrection that we celebrate today. I'm going to take you to some stories, and so you're going to have fun. We're going to have story time for just a little while. And so we're going to talk about some of the resurrections of the Bible. For instance, I want to tell you about some of the resurrections. That word there, don't let it scare you. It seems like a long word, but it's just talking about somebody came back from the grave. Somebody came back from death. I want to tell you about some of the resurrections of the Old Testament. Elijah resurrects the son of the widow of Zarephath from the dead. 1 Kings chapter 17, listen to these verses. It says in verse 21 and 22, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Here's the story. A boy had become sick. The boy was young enough, but he still lived, I believe, with his mother. His mother was a widow, so there was no man in the house. Here she's got her boy, and it looks like maybe the only child in the home. This very widow had shared her oil and her meal to protect Elijah, to keep him alive. So what's happening here, a preacher by the name of Elijah is on the scene. Her boy, this widow's boy, gets sick. And prior to that, this widow had also taken care of Elijah. She gave him some food and took care of him. And this boy ends up suddenly taking his last breath, and he dies. Now, Elijah at that time was staying in a little loft, like a little loft apartment that this family, they owned. Elijah took this dead boy into the loft and laid him down there. The Bible says that Elijah went and laid himself on top of the boy. He got up. He laid himself on top of the boy again. He got up three times. He laid himself on top of the boy. And the third time, he cries out to God, and he begs God to restore this boy's life. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22, it says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Wow, what an incredible story. Can you imagine? Mama, can you imagine? You lost your husband to death. You've got a child, and you're rearing that child by yourself, and it's all that you have, humanly speaking, and suddenly something happens, and your child dies. The man of God comes along and says, I think I can help you with the restoration here. The man of God prays, and the power of God is upon him. And as a result of it, your boy comes back to life. You're talking about one happy mama. A resurrected child. There's another resurrection in the Bible. This time by a man, an Old Testament prophet by the name of Elisha. The first one was Elijah. They were partners. Now, Elisha raises the son of a Shunammite woman from the dead. I'll read a couple of scriptures to you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and when Elisha had come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Totally different story now, different man, different circumstances. In verse 35 of this passage, it says, "Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro. He went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes." Here's the story. A woman had a child, and that child had died. Elisha went into the child's room, and he began to pray for that child. Elisha laid his hands upon the child. The Bible says Elisha put his mouth on the child's mouth. He put his eyes on the child's eyes. He put his hands on the child's hands. And the Bible says as Elisha is praying, the child's body at that moment was cold from death, the Bible describes. Then all of a sudden, Elijah has his hands on the child's hands, and basically he's looking right into the child's face. And he begins to pray. The Bible says that Elisha could feel the warmth of life coming back into the child. He could actually feel that child's body heat going from dead to alive. Elisha stood up. He walked around the house. He laid on the child again, and suddenly the child sneezed 7 times. You say, what does that have to do with anything? I have no idea. Maybe one of the people that were advertising in this situation was Charmin, and you needed something to sneeze into. I don't know. But I do know this. The child sneezes 7 times. Then miraculously, after sneezing 7 times, the dead child opens its eyes alive. Wow. Again, what a miraculous story. It happened. But let me tell you, the first child that was resurrected, that was an important resurrection. That mama was very, very pleased about that resurrection. But that wasn't as important as the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus was a Savior. Now, here we see another resurrection in the Bible. Sneezing 7 times, I don't know what it has to do with it, but it's in the story. But there's another story of a resurrection in the Bible. Let me give you another story in the Old Testament of a resurrection. A man was raised from the dead when his dead body touches the bones of Elisha. He's the one that just did this miracle where the child sneezes 7 times. But Elisha's dead bones. I'll read to you. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, it says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. The band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. They cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Let me tell you the story here. Elisha had died. They had buried Elisha in a sepulcher, been like a walk-in tomb, if you will. Some months later, the enemy, the Moabites, invaded that land. There was a funeral that was taking place in that very cemetery where Elisha was buried, where his bones were. Suddenly, the funeral was interrupted by a band of invading enemy, the Moabites. They spied and said, "Look, the Moabites are upon us. They're right in the middle of the funeral." And to hide quickly, the pallbearers tossed the body from the funeral into the sepulcher where Elisha had been buried. And then they all scattered. All the pallbearers ran. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was about to get attacked by an army and I thought they were about to kill me, I'm liable to forsake my duties as a pallbearer for just a moment. They throw this dead body into the sepulcher where Elisha's bones are. And when they did, the corpse landed on top of Elisha's bones. And to their amazement, the minute that happened, the corpse stood up and was alive. And I'm going to suppose, hey, he ran too. That happened. It's in the Bible. Say, how did it happen? I don't know. I can't explain all this. I'm just telling you, it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's true. Now, that wasn't the most incredible resurrection, but that's a pretty incredible resurrection. That's a pretty incredible feat. "Do you believe in life after death?" the boss asked one of his employees. "Yes, sir," the new employee replied. "Well, then that makes everything fine then," says the boss. The boss went on and said, "After you left early yesterday from work to go to your grandmother's funeral, she stopped in to see you." You know, The Bible talks of resurrections throughout its pages. We've seen Elijah and a widow's boy that was resurrected. We've seen Elisha and another boy after sneezing seven times coming back from the dead. We see here in the Old Testament the story of Elisha's bones bringing a corpse back to death in a time of what we'd call emergency. Now, when you get to the New Testament, there are resurrection stories in the New Testament as well. For instance, in the New Testament, there's the story of Peter and the raising of Dorcas from the dead. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. The Bible says, the Bible says in Acts 9:37, "And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber." In verse 40 it says, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." The name Tabitha and Dorcas, they're the same. They go to the very same person here. Now here's the story. This gal named Dorcas was a servant of God. She was known for making and sewing clothes for poor people. She became very sick and she died, and she was placed in a chamber, an upper chamber, where her body would be kept. They heard that Peter was preaching in the area, so they sent for Peter, the preacher. When Peter arrived, many people were in that upper chamber place. It had been a little bit like a funeral home that they used, and they were mourning Dorcas's death. They showed Peter the clothes that she had made. They said, "Peter, this was a good lady. She made clothing for the poor. She met the needs of poor people." Well, Peter said, "I need everybody to leave the room for a minute." The Bible says, Peter kneeled down and began to pray. He said to her dead body, "Dorcas, arise." The Bible says, this lady, who was dead, opened her eyes. She sat up, and the Bible says she was hungry. I don't know. It may be that she just, being dead wears you out. Peter offered her his hand, and they together walked into the other room. What an incredible story. There it happened. We see it happen in the Old Testament. We see it happen in the New Testament. But let me remind you of all something. As all these resurrections are taking place, none are as important as one that we celebrate today. But it happened. It happened. There were other resurrections in the Bible. There's a man by the name of Eutychus who Paul raised from the dead. I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen asleep in a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with his sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Here's the story. Paul was preaching in night church. Night church is taught in the Bible. Paul was preaching at night church. We get out of church here at night right about 8:30. You say, "Oh, 8:30, just too late." Paul had preached till midnight. It was midnight, and Paul is still preaching at night church. And they had the church house all lit up with lamps and candles, and they had a full house. And it was so bad, there wasn't any seating on the lower floor, and they had a loft situation wherever it was that they were. And it says it was almost a third level up. There was a man sitting like in a window area, listening to Paul preach. The man's name was Eutychus, and he had fallen asleep. Some of you, right now, are living the Bible. You sat there asleep during church. You say, "Well, nobody ever died sleeping in church." This guy did. This guy did. He's sitting up there. He's in the third loft. He's asleep. The preacher's preaching, and I don't know how many times this guy nodded. But I'm sure he nodded a few times and woke up and grabbed himself and thought, "Oh, I better hang on." No seat belts in church around here. You need seat belts every once in a while with the preaching, but no seat belts. Where was OSHA when we need them? There he is, third level, up there. The man's preaching. And this last time he fell asleep, lost total track of where he was, what he was doing, and down he came. He fell all the way down and hit the floor. Now, we have a few interruptions around here from time to time in our church service. Sometimes people can't. They think they're in a movie theater, and they walk in, walk out, walk in, walk out, walk in, walk out. We have cell phones that go off. We've had some occurrences. We've had a bee in here and a bird in here once, but we've never had anybody fall down dead out of the balcony. And this guy falls down dead, and I'm sure that's enough to interrupt the service. You say, what would you do? It all depends on whether we'd taken the offering yet or not. He fell out of the window. He hits the ground and he's dead. And the Bible says that Paul went down and laid upon this man's dead body and brought Eutychus back to life. You say, why? Insurance premiums. You can't afford to have people dying in church. You've got to bring them back to death, to life. Well, that'll make your insurance go up. And again, the Bible says that this guy was hungry. Resurrections evidently make people hungry. I'm just sure of that. It means that I wake up every morning, I wake up from the dead, and I'm hungry. I'll tell you that. But again, another incredible story of a resurrection. We've seen some incredible resurrections in the Bible. And the Bible says these people were dead, and God used the men of God to bring them back to life. There's another story. Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain from the dead. Luke chapter 7, verse number 12, it says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. In verse 17 it says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Here's the story. Jesus and the disciples had gone into the city of Nain. It's N-A-I-N. At the gate of the city, there was a funeral of a dead man. He was the only son of his mother. The whole city had come out for this funeral, so this guy was very well known. His family must have been very well known, because the Bible says the whole city had come to this funeral that's being conducted. The mom, of course, her heart is terribly, terribly broken. And let me say to everybody here, any time a child is struggling, and any time a child is away from God, and any time a child is facing death, it always breaks a mama's heart. There are some of you that are in this building right now. There are some of you that your mama's heart is broken because of the way you behave or the way you're living your life. I'll promise you, there are mamas with heavy hearts in here. In this story, there's a heavy heart because the mom had lost a son. Her heart is terribly broken. All the city is there. The Bible says that Jesus walked over to the coffin and he says these words, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Sure enough, he sat up alive and began to speak. Another story, an amazing story. Can you imagine going to the cemetery and being interrupted during the funeral service? And all of a sudden watching the one to whom we were missing or the one that we were grieving and watching them set up. That's exactly what happened right there in that story. He had been dead and now he is alive. Now, there's another story in the Bible about a resurrection. Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. The Bible says in Luke 8:49, it says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Verse 53, we get to the latter part of the story. It says, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. In verse 55, it says, and her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded her, and commanded to give her meat. There's that food again. A man named Jairus came to Jesus because he had a 12-year-old daughter that was dying. Jesus wanted to get to this girl. He was going to help the girl. Jesus wanted to get to her and help her. She's only 12. She's very close to death. But the problem was the crowd around Jesus was so thick that he was detained getting to this little 12-year-old girl. While stuck in the crowd, somebody from Jairus' house, he's the one that came to Jesus. He came and said, please, come help my daughter. Jesus says, I'm coming. The crowd was so thick he couldn't get in. About that time, somebody that lived in the house came and said, forget it. She's dead. He didn't make it in time. And Jesus said, only believe. They said, well, you don't need to come now. Jesus said, yes, I do. He said, no, she's dead. You don't need to come. We know that you could have helped her to stay alive, but now she's dead. Jesus said, only believe. He said, I'm coming to your house. When Jesus arrived, everybody was weeping out of control. Some, I think, were a little bit irritated that Jesus had not made it in time. And Jesus said, she's not dead. What he meant was, she's not staying dead. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. These people said, what do you think you're going to do? What do you think you're going to do? Bring her back from the dead? There are people in here like that. See, you expect me to believe all that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And you say, oh, that's laughable. You'll see someday. You'll see. You won't laugh all the way. Your laughter will turn into weeping someday. No, it's true. They laughed him to scorn. He took the dead child's hand and said, arise. She rose up from the dead. What an incredible story. Another story of a resurrection. It's not the most important resurrection in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. There's another story, a little more familiar to some people, in the New Testament. A man by the name of Lazarus. He had died. The Bible says in John 11:14, it says, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. In verse 21 of the same chapter, it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Then it says in verse number 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Here's the story. Lazarus was sick, and he was dying. His sister Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come and to heal Lazarus before he died. But Jesus was delayed. Matter of fact, he was delayed by a couple of days, and Lazarus died. All the sisters wanted him to come. All they knew that he could help. They were upset. In fact, when Jesus arrives, they get on him. They say, had you been here, our brother wouldn't have died. They wanted him to hurry. When Jesus arrived, he said, you take me to the place where your brother's buried. Take me to the place where Lazarus is buried. Then he said to them, once they arrived there, all these people go along saying, well, what do you need? What do you want? What are you going to do? He said, open up the sepulcher. In other words, take the lid off of that thing. And they said, what? He's been in there for days. I'm sure they didn't mean to be crude, but they said, do you realize? 3 days, dead body, he stinketh. Jesus said, open the grave. The Bible says Jesus prayed. Standing outside that sepulcher, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man steps up. He still had his, they wrapped them back then in grave clothes. In other words, like a mummy. He was wrapped in all of these grave clothes. And the Bible says he stepped forth, he walked out, and there you have a resurrected Lazarus mummy. And everybody's saying, wow, look at that. Wow. Jesus, the Bible says, unwrapped him. Helped him get that stuff off. Why? He's going to stick around. He's alive. He's alive. All the way through the Bible, I see stories of resurrections. I see stories of boys resurrected. I see stories of girls resurrected. I see stories of adult women resurrected. I see stories of adult men resurrected. But let me explain something to you. Every one of those people that got resurrected needed help. They all needed help. You'll notice Elijah helped. You'll notice Peter helped. You'll notice Paul helped. You'll notice that Elisha helped. You'll notice that Jesus helped. Let me tell you about one of my favorite resurrections in the whole Bible. It's about one named Jesus, the Son of God. And here's the good thing about it. He didn't need no help. He didn't need anybody to get him up out of that grave. He got up out of that grave all by his itchy-bitsy little self. He did it without anybody at all. Pay attention right this way. Jesus resurrects himself from the dead. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 50, it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. What's it mean? Here's the story in the Bible. Look right this way. The story in the Bible where Jesus dies. In verse number 60 of Matthew 27, it says, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. This basically tells us about the day Jesus dies, and then they take a borrowed tomb and they put him in that borrowed tomb. I like this. A pastor was speaking to a group of second graders about the resurrection of Jesus when one of the students asked, "Well, what did Jesus say right after he came out of the grave?" The pastor explained that nowhere in the Bible did it tell us exactly what he said the moment he came out of the grave. One little girl raised her hand and said, "Preacher, I know what he said." The preacher said, "What do you think he said?" She said, "I think he came out and he went, ta-da!" Well, I've got news for you today, folks. Jesus had a right to say, ta-da! Now all those other people, when they got up out of that grave, they had no right to say, ta-da! Why? Somebody else had got them up out of the grave, but when Jesus Christ was arisen from the grave, he had a right to say, ta-da! He did it by himself. It was God that had helped him to get out of the grave. He didn't take somebody else. He was placed in that sepulcher. If you remember the story, he had even predicted that he would resurrect. The enemy put soldiers around his sepulcher to be sure that somebody couldn't steal his body and say that he had been resurrected. Early on Sunday morning, there was an earthquake, the Bible says. Now you picture it. Jesus has been crucified. He's been put in that borrowed tomb. They've sealed it up. They've got soldiers all around it. Sunday morning comes and the Bible says there was an earthquake. The Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary ran to the grave, and when they got there, an angel had rolled back the stone of his tomb. The soldiers, the Bible says those soldiers that had been posted around the grave of Jesus Christ, they were as dead men. You say, what's that mean? I think number one, it scared them out of their senses. I think number two, they were paralyzed with fear because they had just seen the ta-da! I mean, if you were there to see the ta-da, you'd be paralyzed too. They had seen Jesus Christ. No help from anybody. There was no Elijah to help him get up out of the grave. There was no Elisha to help him get up out of the grave. There was no need of a Peter or a Paul. Hey, he did it by himself in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus got up out of that grave. The angel said to Mary and the other Mary that were there, everybody was a little bit scared, and they said, "Fear not, for he is risen. Go tell everybody." Now let me explain something to you folks. I believe that they did go tell people. I need this microphone. I believe that they did go tell a lot of people. Let me tell you how I know. Today, we are remembering again that day of ta-da. They're remembering it all around the world. Even an old liberal nation that's turned their back on God. Everybody's taking a day, and whether they want to accept it or not, we're still celebrating that ta-da. He did get up out of the grave. He did resurrect. And all around the world, they're coping with the fact that Jesus got up out of the grave. Not with the help of Elijah. Not with the help of Elisha. Not with the help of Peter. Not with the help of Paul. He got up out of that grave of his own power. Resurrected. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. We know the truth. Ta-da! He got up out of that grave. You see, there's the big resurrection. There are other resurrections taught in the Bible, but we have a resurrected Savior. Wait a minute. Not only did he do it by himself, he did it for you. He did it for you. Why? Man's a sinner. Because man's a sinner, he can't get himself to heaven. And God said, somebody's going to have to make it so man can go to heaven. And Jesus said, I'll make it so man can go to heaven. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the penalty. I'll do whatever it takes. He came to this earth born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless, perfect years. They crucified him. They put him in a grave. Then he had to be able to get back to heaven and seal the deal with God. The devil said, I've got him. He's right there. He's right there in the grave. We've got him. He's down. I'm going to tell you, the devil was very interrupted on that morning when he saw Jesus go, ta-da! All of hell went, bummer! Bummer! The Bible says he resurrected and he went back to heaven, and that's how he paid for your ticket to heaven, through his death, his burial, and thank God, through his ta-da! Resurrection. Through that resurrection, everybody else needed help. And let me tell you something. You can't resurrect without help. You will die. You will go to a grave. If you don't get saved, you'll die and end up in hell someday. Let me tell you about something, and I wish I had time to develop, but I cannot. There are a lot of things happening around the world today. A lot of those things are predicted in that old black book that I preach from today. The Bible says Jesus is coming again. There is coming a day when what life as we know it on this earth is going to change an awful lot because Jesus is coming back. You've heard about it. You've heard the terms, things like Armageddon and those big wars and all the things that will take place. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell Brother Ham, it's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. He's coming again. All the naysayers will have to shut their mouth. There's coming a day when they're going to realize, ta-da, Jesus is the victor. It's coming. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says there's a day when Jesus is coming again. We don't know when that day is. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, Jesus is coming again. When he comes, he's coming to take the Christians off of this earth and take them to heaven. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means if somebody's saved, they died, they're put in a grave, and Jesus comes through the clouds to get all of us and take us to heaven, those that are buried in the grave, they've got to go through a resurrection. And you must be saved at that moment to be resurrected by Jesus to go on to heaven. The living then that are on this earth, and the Bible says when Jesus comes back, there'll be a lot of Christians that are dead in a grave through the generations, but there'll be some that'll be living on the earth. The Bible says God will resurrect those that are dead and already in the grave. They will be caught up in the air, and then those that are alive will meet them as the dead ones are being caught up. We'll go to the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, well, Brother Owens, why is it that he calls the ones that are in the grave up first? Well, they've got 6 foot further distance to travel to get to it. They're 6 foot under. But I'm going to tell you something, and if I'm dead at the time when Jesus comes back, I get to be resurrected. If you're not saved and you go to the grave, you don't get to be resurrected and go to be with Jesus. You're going the different direction. I'm going up, you're going down. You can't resurrect yourself. You can't save yourself. He has to do the resurrecting, and he does that as a result of your trusting Christ as Savior. You've got to be saved to go up at the time of this thing called the rapture. So remember, if you're saved but dead at the time when Jesus comes back, you have to be resurrected to meet him in the air. If you're saved but alive, you go up and meet him in the air. You see, let's go back to Luke chapter 16. Remember the story at the beginning where the man died and he went to hell? This man dies and he's in hell, and he said, look, there's nothing we can do about me being here in hell. I'm already dead. I'm bound here for life, forever, eternity. He said, but I have 5 brethren. I don't want them to come to this place. He said, if you would send someone that's been resurrected, if you would send someone from the dead to go tell my brothers, they would believe. He was told if they wouldn't believe the Bible, they wouldn't believe one sent from the dead. His brothers probably wouldn't get saved. Let me tell you something. I told you, I think, every prominent story in the Bible about resurrection today. If you won't believe these, you will die. You will not be resurrected unless you get saved. If you won't believe what I told you from the Bible today, I'm going to guess there's a chance you probably won't ever get saved and you'll end up in hell. The Bible clearly teaches it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave for you and for me. That was how he paid our sin debt for us. And if you're not saved, you need to get born again. Virtually, you need a resurrection in regard to this thing called salvation. See, when we're dead, when we're not saved, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Trusting Christ will resurrect the dead part of us and we get born again. You must get resurrected in salvation to get resurrected in the rapture. But it's very clear in the Bible. We celebrate a resurrection today. A ta-da by Jesus Christ. If you're here, you never trusted Christ. Get saved. Get saved. Trust Christ today. Some of you need to take a good long look at the Bible that you say was written by your God, and you need to trust every word in it. our God, the God that through the years has worked miracle after miracle and the miracles of the resurrection. Some, it's been a long time since you've been in church. You need to resurrect your Christianity a little bit and get back into church. But the question for the day is, are you saved? Are you born again? I'm not asking if you're religious. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you have not, you need to get saved. If Jesus were to come back in a week, and you're not saved, you'll die and go to hell. I'd hate to see that happen to you. I believe His coming is soon. You better take care of your soul. You better get born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.